Welcome to the Enlighten Up Podcast, where I am going to take you into a deep exploration of what it means to exist in this current reality. We are going to raise your vibes, open your mind, expand your heart, and dive deep into the wondrous mysteries and possibilities of this lifetime. There's been a spiritual catalyst that has set in motion the awakening process of many across the globe to return to the knowingness of self and unite what has been separated. Together, we're going to bring light into that darkness. We're going to remember the joy of living. But most of all, we're going to turn up the volume of our own eternal power and do the thing we're here to do. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Enlighten Up Podcast. A month or two ago, I had this guest on the show, and so many of you enjoyed the conversation that I thought I should bring him back sooner rather than later. So here he is, David Ellis, back to join the show. How are you doing today, David?
I'm doing great, actually. I'm actually looking forward to this discussion.
Yeah, you and I always seem to have a good time through the conversation, going into all the different crevices and corners that not everyone will go into.
Oh, no, I'm good with going into crevices and corners, apparently. Go ahead.
Yes, apparently you are, yes. So David and I were just having a fun little pre-podcast conversation that maybe we'll get into a little later.
Sure, I'm open to whatever.
I'm sure the audience will be riveted.
Oh, this, yes, riveted. going to be fun.
One of the reasons why I enjoyed having you on the show, and I also enjoyed being on your show as well, is because we like to talk about the things that not everyone's going to talk about from a perspective that not many will exactly share, at least out loud.
Yeah, and Sparkles, I think it's because you and I are just way too transparent for our own good.
I mean, when you've been on this journey for as long as you and I have been, you can't take things so seriously anymore.
Correct.
Yeah. You need to lighten things up.
Absolutely.
And that's what we do here on the Enlighten Up Podcast. We lighten things up, and we're going to lighten things up a lot. So let's go into the first topic of discussion, because this is going to be a whole hodgepodge of topics that I think will likely have a very common thread, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the dark side of enlightenment.
Ah, yes.
Because there is a dark side to enlightenment. And I'm wondering, when you hear the dark side of enlightenment, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Women in Lululemon pants with soft candles and incense, doing yoga and expecting everything will go well, and not realizing that with enlightenment comes different stages of grief. Like, you have the five stages of grief. So when you become all enlightened with yourself, you begin to see some of the ugliest things that you could possibly imagine. It's not always smooth sailing. It's more like a roller coaster uphill that doesn't stop.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's actually something I discussed on a video earlier this week on the healing journey, and how oftentimes the healing journey, the signs of healing actually look like the opposite. Like, you would think you're going in the opposite direction.
Yes, because it's like your body, as an example. You want to heal your body, and your body doesn't do nice things to heal itself. So before there can be nice, smooth skin, there will be a scab. And there's going to be pain, and there's going to be inflammation.
And restriction.
Yes. And that's how your body heals itself. What makes you think that the mind or the spirit is any different? You see, so I think people have this idea of incense candles and warm baths with essential oils in it, when the reality is that you're going to probably wake up one day and realize, oh, crap, I shouldn't be married. like stuff like that happens, right? And you have to be prepared for it, because you might realize one day, oh, probably the children thing weren't for me. Hard thing to realize. But it's because you're realizing different aspects of yourself that you probably suppressed because somebody told you it was fashionable to suppress them. As they come through, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh, I've made some errors there. So before you step onto the path of enlightenment, make sure you actually want to be enlightened.
Oh, the things we ask for.
Yeah.
You know, that's a saying, be careful what you ask for, you might actually get it. And that's so true. I mean, this path of enlightenment, and I love that you use the analogy of a scab when it comes to the healing, because like the path of enlightenment, it's actually filled with a lot of focus on the darkness.
Yes, and darkness looks different for different people. Mm-hmm. I think that when you step onto the path of enlightenment, you might lose friends. Are you ready for that? You might lose lovers, family members, right? There's a dark side to it. And you, here's the other part that you most people don't like. They're okay with losing friends, families, and lovers. They're not okay with losing their self-image. The image that they had of themselves as this good angelic person, you might realize that you're pretty much a dick. And you've been a dick to people all your life. And then when you realize that, it's like a whole house has landed on you. So a lot of people are not prepared for that. And when they get it, it's like, ooh. That's a hard truth for a lot of people.
Mm. It is a hard truth. I'm waiting for one of my friends to realize he's a dick through his stepping onto the path of enlightenment. Because it's true. And I mean, I certainly was. When I stepped on, I realized, oh, wow, Nicole, you're really not that nice sometimes. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing about that's the hardest thing for most people, because when you have that realization, the guilt, the self-judgment floods in immediately. Like, oh crap, when you revisit things in your mind, if you are genuinely on the path of enlightenment, you are going to go through these things, okay? Because now you're looking at yourself from a more internal perspective. Introspection is a hard thing, which is why it's usually recommended. You know, the mystics of old used to have this exercise called, a set of exercises actually, called the Mystic's Ladder. And one of the exercises on that ladder was at the end of every day, they did a review of the day. You know, like how you do a life review when you die? They did it every day to find out how much of an asshole they were during the day. And then they made a commitment the next day before midday to correct the mistakes of the previous day. And if you do that exercise, just that exercise alone, then you clean up a lot of the stuff in your field and so on in a short space of time. But I see that a lot of people have tried to adapt this exercises or to do it, you know, once every 3 months and so on. No, this was done every day. And it's a good exercise to do. Like, just do a review of the day. Because the problem with the whole enlightenment thing is that stuff builds up over years. And then it hits you like a whole brick. That's why when people do ayahuasca as an example, not something I would recommend at all. That would be the harshest thing ever, right? They get 20 years of being an asshole dropped on them like a brick, and it's harsh, and it takes them to the depths of hell, according to Aleister Crowley. And he said, you cannot ascend to heaven unless you have descended into the deepest, darkest pits of hell. Okay? To float, you gotta sink. To know.
That is the truth. And it's so true, because while we live in a very dualistic reality. And so in order to know one high, you must know the absolute opposite low of it.
You must, right? And I think a lot of people would like to escape the low.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because when you have the contrast, you get the appreciation.
Yes, you get the appreciation, and you would not know light if you didn't know darkness. That's the other aspect. I think a lot of people fool themselves into believing that you can just have one without the other. Okay? But the truth of the matter is, what is the statement? There's a Latin word phrase for that. Essentia in contra sua. What it means is the essence of a thing is in its opposite. So the person you hate, you hate that person because they have something that you have on board. And you don't want to see it, right? The essence of a thing is always in its opposite. That sibling that you can't stand, they're your sibling. Ponder. Or that kid or that mother that you hate so much, it's because you hate some traits in yourself that you would like to get rid of. Or else you would just simply be compassionate. And a lot of people don't understand that. And they don't realize that they're hating the essence of themselves and other people a lot of the times. Okay? Or judgment. Like, as an example, I'll give you an example. And I'm going to probably depersonalize this because that's easy. What men hate about women, misogynists. What women hate about men, misandrists. We are two sides of the same coin. Okay? So, men control by domination and narcissism, which we all know. There's a whole bunch of narcissism. And this is just by far and large. And if you're a woman, women control by deception and manipulation. Okay? It is 6.5 dozen. The end result is control. So, misandrists hate men because they're trying to dominate. Misogynists hate women because they're trying to control. At the end result is a concept of power. Power over the other. And when I see it in my office, usually in marriages gone wrong, it doesn't matter who started it, but on both sides of the fence, there is attempts at gaining power and power over the other. And so when couples come into your office and they're like, oh, he's like this and he's like that. And she's like, I can't stand her. She's like this and she's like that. And you realize all of a sudden, just look beneath the surface and realize at the end of it, it's a desire to control, which is usually embedded in some childhood traumas, 9 out of 10. And you try to flesh that out. So if each of these people decided to become enlightened and realize, oh crap, I'm a huge narcissist, right? You're going to have a lot of regret. A lot of people have lost relationships and marriages because they couldn't look beneath the surface of things.
And that's often the case. What we see on the surface is really not what's harbor below the surface. It's a completely different animal.
Yeah. And it's usually very messy.
Well, when it comes to the dark side of enlightenment, let's talk about spiritual bypassing. Because, you know, that's a thing.
A lot of people, they want to be able to get to a certain place without looking at a certain thing. So, I think let's do an illustration. Actually, you know what? A lot of spiritual leaders would like to get to the place of enlightenment, and they don't want to take care of their bodies or their minds. Okay? They just want to, you know, skip over that and go to the whole a LEDMED thing. When you're on the path of enlightenment, it's a holistic construct. There is nothing that can, that is not taken into consideration. Nothing. And so it will challenge you at every stage and at every event and at every minute and at every hour of your life. And that thing that you want to ignore will come back to jump on you later on if you leave it alone. Okay?
I wouldn't say leave it alone, more like ignore it.
Yeah, that was a nice way of putting that. More like ignore it. That thing that you want to ignore.
Pretend doesn't exist.
Yeah, like the elephant in the room. The reason why I made that analogy earlier on of people who dress and look the part and are not exactly the part is because people have an idea of what the spiritual path, the spiritual enlightenment looks like. Okay? Yeah. The homeless man that's out down the road by you could be on a path of enlightenment. In India, the most spiritual people are ascetics, right? And so they are dirty, they don't bathe, they don't own anything, or whatever the case may be. They don't go to spiritual classes, 1,000 spiritual classes, or whatever else. They are in their own process, and the process may look different. Maybe your process may be something like, okay, I'm judgmental as an example, and I don't like the hobo down the road from me, okay? And you're in that process too. Whether or not, whether you believe it or not, we're all in a spiritual process. Just a lot of people tend to take the easier road more than others. And the truth of the matter is that you, and I say the easier road for them, not generally speaking, because there's no easy road, no matter what you do, right? So whether or not you've decided that you're going to step onto this path or not, and you want to ignore certain things, it's a bad strategy. It will come back when you least expect it. When you're riding high on that cloud and you have the harp, because that's what most people think of enlightenment. If you're Christian, you have the harp and you're playing on your cloud and so on. And then somebody says to you, yo, you're not an angel, and then you fall through the cloud when you realize that you're not. It is that thing that you probably decided that you're going to ignore that is going to take you down, right?
And it always is. It's almost like since the minute we started speaking about this, I keep getting a vision of kind of like an outhouse, but actually can be flushed, but you don't try to flush it. You just keep dumping in it, walking away, dumping in it. And then one day it self-explodes when you, in the most inopportune time of your life.
But I was graphic, but yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but a lot of people bypass a lot of things, okay? Like one of the major things that people bypass, as an example, they step over different aspects of themselves. A lot of spiritual people ignore their sexuality, as an example, or their concepts of sexuality, because mm-hmm. it's a taboo subject. And I ask myself a lot of the times, since when did sexuality become taboo in spirituality? That's like a Christian thing, isn't it?
That's like an
Abrahamic Christian thing. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people, if y'all really look into yourselves right now, if you're watching this podcast and you're looking at yourself and you're really serious on a spiritual path, think about sex. What does it register in your mind? Is there resistance? Is there something that you don't want to talk about? That's one of the things, right? Let me throw a few things out there since we're making everybody uncomfortable anyway, right? And this is one of the reasons why Nicole and I are fine with this, because I could throw subjects out there and just close your eyes and feel it. When I say the word sex, yeah, there's a strange black guy on your screen saying the word sex to you. And Is there resistance in your mind? Do you feel that? Okay. If you are on a spiritual path and you're a practitioner, whatever, I'm going to say the next thing, money. Money. Is it? How does that feel? It feels okay? Are you good with what I'm saying right now? Right? Or, Nicole, help me out here. Let's throw a few things out here.
Well, okay. Well, first, on the money side, well, okay, two things here. Okay.
I'm sorry. Did I make a push in your mind there, Nicole?
No, because even when you talk about the money, let's go back to the vision where you said the path of enlightenment looks very different for many different people. So, for instance, you may see someone who's homeless down the road and not realize that, well, we're all on our own spiritual path, but you may not see that. Mm-hmm. The same can go for those who have a deep resistance to money by seeing someone who might be very wealthy and think, oh, they're not very spiritual.
Yeah. A lot of spiritual people, I'm sorry, I'm going to say this to you guys. A lot of y'all are bad people when it comes to judging people. Okay.
I know. It's so true. Yeah. It's so true.
When it comes to judging people. So what happens 9 times out of 10, it's the whole essentia and contra sua thing. That person is all materialistic and so on. You have no idea what's going on inside that person. You absolutely do not. Now, you might compensate by saying, but I'm psychic, so I do know what's going on inside of them.
Oh, that's a good
one. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm psychic, so I do know what's going on inside of them. And to that, I would say, okay, one of the... and. By the way, that's like a tripwire for a whole bunch of spiritual people. The prevalence of intuition and psychic people chase that instead of, I'm going to quote the Bible here. Oh God, I'm going to quote the Bible. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and then all things will be added onto you. But they go searching for the other things that are added onto them before they seek the kingdom of heaven first. And so everybody's seeking psychic awareness and psychic expansion, okay? Here's the problem with psychic awareness and psychic expansion. It's going to allow you to understand and see the behavior of people and see it coming. It's not going to enlighten you. Because, and you would be shooting yourself in the foot if you try to expand your psychic awareness first, rather than your spiritual understanding. I'll explain why. Because once your eyes are open, they don't close again. You know what I'm talking about, Nicole. Once your eyes are open, they're not going to close again. Mm-mm. So you are opening your third eye. You're taking on all the spiritual intuition and so on. And you want to see. Some people have special mantras and exercises just for the spiritual expansion, the mental psychic expansion. And then they see the horror that their minds are not ready for. Like one of the horrors you might see is that your parents hate you. And now you can see it plainly. Before, you could ignore it. Now you could see it plainly. And by the way, the whole third eye thing, here's the difference between your regular eyes and your third eye. It not only sees outwardly, it sees inwardly as well. Mm. So if you really don't want to see yourself, don't do psychic expansion. Okay? If you really want to, don't do psychic expansion. Because at every time, in every way, what it does, it takes you outside yourself so you could see yourself operating in real life. That's how psychic expansion works. A lot of people don't know the mechanics of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, David, but like you said, if you're not spiritually developed to enough of a degree where you can understand what you're seeing, remember that just because you're psychic and you're seeing something, what type of lens are you intuitively looking through? Because there's this misconception that when you see, that you're just going to see things through a completely neutral perspective. But if you are not neutral within you, then you are going to see things intuitively through a very non-developed lens.
There's a dark side to this, an even darker side. A lot of people seek psychic development, Nicole, and you're not sure what you're going to get. This is potluck when you expand your psychic abilities. So, as an example, you might get future sight. That's a curse, okay? Precognition. Or you might get even worse, the empath thing. That might be your predisposition. I keep telling this joke. I'm going to say it again. A joke. An empath walks into the bar. An empath walks into the bar. That's the whole joke. An empath in a bar where everybody is pushing out a bunch of thought patterns, right? So that's a joke right there. An empath walking into a bar. And everybody who's an empath who's listening to this know exactly why that's funny, right? Because an empath not going into any bar. Not nice, not in a good way, right? Not without valium in their system. So you're not sure what you're going to get. Be careful what you ask for. You sit down and you say, "Universe, give me psychic awareness," and so on. And the universe says, "Well, okay, you want psychic awareness? I'm going to make you an empath." Okay. So everybody that touches you, everybody that you come into contact with, you're getting information off of them. Or somebody, or anybody, or if you have future sight, you can't help but see what's going to happen in the future. That is a blessing and a curse. If your mind is not developed, if you don't have grounding and so on, and you keep seeing all the configurations of things that are going to happen in the future, you can go quite promptly mad in your own way, and then you're going to shut yourself off.
And this is why you said at the very beginning, the path of enlightenment is holistic. It includes both the body, mind, and spirit. And so, a lot of times on the spiritual journey, the low-hanging fruit, the candy that you just want to take from the baby, is this idea of, ooh, I want to become more psychic. Ooh, I want to become more intuitive. I want to have this, psychic expansion where I can see or I can hear or I can taste or like whatever the psychic senses are that you're really wanting to expand. And I get it. I was there. I was absolutely there on the earlier parts of my journey. But the reality is, when I don't think a lot of people realize this, because there's this, again, this misconception that as soon as your intuition opens up, it's the automatic truth, and that's not true. Can we talk about that? Because it really does depend on your own state of neutrality, your own lenses that you're choosing to look through, because even your third eye has a lens.
The kind of lens that is always open, even when you're asleep. You get a break from the world when you close your eyes. Your third eye does not sleep. Like, I wish somebody would, like, everybody's writing books and so on. Why doesn't somebody write a book on spiritual disclaimers? Maybe we should do a show on that one. Well, actually, you know what? We should definitely do a show. Spiritual spiritual disclaimers. When your third eye opens, it doesn't close ever again. And so there's no, it'll open for a day or two and then shut back down. No, that's not how it works. Okay, there's a lot of people in prior to, I would say, the prevalence of psychotic medication who had their third eye open. They thought they were going mad, and so they put them in mental institutions. Do you know that? There's a whole bunch of people that live their lives in mental institutions because of spiritual development. Okay? Now we have antipsychotic medications that could suppress anything. Okay? But the truth of the matter is, a lot of people sought spiritual enlightenment and people thought that they were going promptly mad and they institutionalized them. That is a statement of fact. Okay? And so, Alex, give you an example of what I'm speaking about. People who like to play with plant medicine. So you went on a plaid journey. Wait one second. Wait, what? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about generally people who like to play with plant medicine as a habitual practice. Mm-hmm. So let's say you were a junkie before. And every drug that you take has a spiritual aspect to it. If you were a junkie before, you don't want to do the work to enable stuff like compassion and, just good behavior, like the basics, spiritual basics. You jumped ahead and you want Mother Ayahuasca to show you everything. I'm sorry, this is going to be, I'm going to have trouble keeping a straight face here, right? So you have taken weed, you've taken ecstasy, you've taken, what else is there?
Cocaine.
Yeah, hydrocodone, everything, right? And you're saying this is part of my spiritual journey. Mm. Yeah, a lot of people say that for all of these drugs. Mm-hmm. And then you come off of that and you decide, you know what, I'm going to clean up my act. And the way I'm going to clean up my act is go and take ayahuasca to see the truth, okay? And ayahuasca is pretty powerful stuff. There is no two ways about that, okay? Mm-mm. And what it does, it opens you up completely. It'll give you what you want. Listen, the mother plant will give you what you want. And so there occurs...
Pause on that. It will give you what you want. Most people don't realize what they want.
Yes, because
they don't understand the package it comes in.
Yeah, because what you say you want. I saw a meme recently, and it went like this: Mother Ayahuasca. She asked, "Show me why my ex boyfriend is so mean," and then Mother Ayahuasca gives you a list of all the shit you've done. Right, and drops it on you. And so I think a lot of people who were inebriated before they started this ayahuasca journey, they experience what we call a breakage in the mind, right? Mm. And they start to see demons and stuff like that. You wanted spiritual enlightenment, you wanted psychic awareness. Mother Ayahuasca removed the veil between the worlds for you, and now you're in that world.
No. That's not the spiritual enlightenment I was asking for. I was asking for the other kind.
You wanted instant elevation. So now Mother Ayahuasca removes the veils.
I wanted the fairies singing to me on the horseback of a unicorn while I rode up into the clouds.
You're
going
to get those too, but it's going to be sparsed in between while you see the world as it is and not as...
you want it to be?
Correct. Because a lot of people, as an example, I'll give you an example of a real life example, and it's not actually fun, it's actually quite tragic. I went to school with a bunch of guys, and they were mixing drugs with the reading of The Master Key by De Laurentiis, right? And that's a very interesting book, and it's speaking about all this stuff and so on. And you, if you're going to be doing drugs and you're messing with books like the Keys of Solomon, as an example, okay? What do you think is going to happen when your mind develops to the point where you're experiencing psychic ability? You're going to see everything in those books. It's going to drive you mad. So my suggestion with people has always been, get the foundation first of all. Meditate, understand yourself, open, and do it gradually. We live in a world where people choose the fast track all the time. This is not something that you're going to want to choose the fast track on, because as we say, there are dark sides to it. Okay? Not everybody can choose the fast track, go into the dark side and give me all the darkness at once. Like the worshippers of Mar Kali, for instance. Give me all the darkness at once and let me deal with it. Yeah, are you strong enough to deal with it? Do you have that 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 backbone, that grounding. Okay, because a lot of people aren't even strong enough to deal with the darkness on a regular pace schedule for spirituality. So psychic awareness can happen in 1 year, 6 months, depending on the path that you're choosing. Mm. But do you really want that?
And also, just so that people are clear in the audience, it is important that you understand your physical health and you take care of your body and you understand the importance of grounding and being in your body while you are exploring this psychic expansion. And also taking care of your own mental wellness while you're doing it so that you can understand what you're seeing. Like you said, this is like so important. And oftentimes, especially if you have a tendency to lean more into the etheric realms, which some mm-hmm. of us have that blueprint, right? That's just it's mm-hmm. easier that way. And it's kind of where you really want to go. There might be a reason why you don't want to be in your body. And a lot of the times it's because you've had some sort of trauma, whether it was just a short period of trauma or a long period of trauma, of not feeling safe in your body. And it's usually because you felt too much. Well, if you open up your psychic senses, believe me, you're going to feel a lot and you need to know how to be in your body. Or else, okay, let's talk about what could happen. What is an example of what could happen to someone who is really going out there, so to speak, but has no concept of how to be back in their body when they need to be?
So, for those of you, they will experience quite a lot of fear in a very short space of time, okay? I want to make a disclaimer here. I want to give an exercise on your show for people to test. Disclaimer is, it might work, okay? So, I'm going to give a bit of an exercise. Before I say this, what Nicole said there, you guys, y'all need to rewind it and play it over and over again. Very sage advice. When it is that you are doing spiritual work and so on, get the grounding first of all, guys. Absolutely. Get the grounding. Is your body healthy? Is your mind healthy? Every time I go on a podcast, and whether it be live or whatever else, there are always people asking questions about this spiritual practice and that spiritual practice. And I'm like, your body strong enough for that? Because spiritual practice is a toll on your physical system. It absolutely is. A lot of people would like to do rituals. If you're taking the rituals seriously, listen, if you've ever gone to the gym and done legs and done lunges, that's the toll that it takes on your body. Because your nervous system is the electrical system that powers any ritual.
It's so true. Just to briefly interject here, when I did my retreat last mm-hmm. fall, and I was holding space with yes. my girlfriend, who was also helping me hold space for all of the participants, an hour before their main journey, my crown chakra, a portal opened above me, and all of this energy started flowing in. And I felt very lightheaded. I had to sit down. There was all this energy coming through me. And luckily, I know how to ground myself. I take a lot of good care of my body. I'm very physical and active and move. And so I know how to move it. Held space for everyone. We had an incredible experience. Everyone in the room that night. Mm-hmm. The retreat went on for another day after that. And then we leave. And that's when I finally, like, all of a sudden, it stopped. And I had to rest for almost 2 weeks.
Yep.
It took that much from my physical body to recalibrate back.
Holding space is holding space. They should have changed that phrase. It means holding weight. It means holding weight, really. That should be what they mean by that. Just holding space. In and of itself, it requires your nervous system to enter a space where what is being given to you has to be held literally and figuratively. So you may not feel like you're holding the weight of someone's information, but you are literally holding that space. And so what is usually advised is that you ask for help, okay, or else you're going to be literally squatting 1,000 pounds of spiritual pressure, which a lot of people don't talk about these things. This is why I love you about your podcast, my dear. I do, because people don't get into the fine print of things, and a lot of people don't know that. Even practitioners don't know what you've just said, okay. They don't get it because they don't realize that holding space is literally holding spiritual pressure. And spiritual pressure is, for those of you who don't know what that is, actually everybody knows what that is. If you've ever been in a bar, an empath walks into the bar. If you've ever been in a bar and there's this guy checking you out, that's spiritual pressure. It's a parabola. It's a transmission of spiritual energy that is hitting you. And then you realize, oh, this guy's checking me out. That kind of thing, right? And you can either return it, whether it's welcome, or you can choose to ignore it. That would be spiritual pressure in a very basic form, okay? When you're holding space for someone who's grieving, that spiritual pressure is immense, okay? And so you will find that social workers and people who are into psychotherapy or whatever the case may be, they age pretty quickly. They age quicker than other people in other professions because their nervous system holds without the spiritual grounding. They don't ask for help. They don't do the self-care that is required. They hold the spiritual pressure and it weighs on them after a while. Okay? As an example, people in corrections, when they're in people who do prison officers, they all have the same symptoms after a while. Extreme fatigue, and they get heart problems, okay? It's not just because of a lifestyle that they lead or the hours or whatever else. It's because they're holding a lot of spiritual pressure, which is 100% always negative all the time. So this is just for you guys. If you are on any dating apps and a prison officer matches with you, yeah, think about it very carefully, okay? Because spiritual pressure has a way of transmitting itself to other people. The exercise that I would like to give to your audience is a very simple one.
The one that might work?
The one that might work, yes, it's a very simple one. There are many ways of accomplishing this, but the next time you want mind meditation, you close your eyes. You need to get into a basic trance state to get this done. And you know you're in a trance state, for those of you who want to do the check, when you begin to feel the slight anesthesia running through your body, the stillness that is creeping into you. That's when you know you're entering trance state. So the next time you're in trance state, I'm going to ask you to do something counterintuitive. I'm going to ask you to get into the state first of all, and then I'm going to ask you to open your eyes, right? That's the first thing I'm going to do. Open your eyes and look directly in front of you. And then what I'm going to ask you to do is take a perspective of looking at yourself from outside yourself. Not very difficult, very simple thing. So sit there, get into the trance state, look ahead of you, and start looking at yourself from outside of yourself, right? Just look at yourself meditating and assess. I am asking you to take your consciousness from here, put it out there, look at yourself here.
While your physical eyes are looking there.
Correct. While your physical eyes are looking there. Did I explain that correctly? All right. So if you practice this exercise, it will, first of all, allow you to remove the mind from the body, the mind from where the mind is usually located. It will allow you to remote view the self, okay? Which is important. To remote view yourself. Because a lot of you have blind spots, and that's because you're only looking one way. So that exercise, it's a very important and powerful exercise because it'll help you with the blind spots that you can't see. You know? Oh shit, I had this pimple right here. I never saw it before. Oh my God. But I'm talking facetiously, but I'm being facetious, but you understand what I mean by that. To be able to remote view the self is a safe way of developing, that is the safe way of developing...
Fresh perspective?
Yes. I didn't want to say what was actually on my mind. All right, it's a safe way of viewing the self from a neutral or fresh perspective. So that is the safe way of going about it. If you don't do it that way, what is going to happen? And you want to do the, I just want my mother ayahuasca to show me everything. Then you're going to have a rather unpleasant experience. But remote view the self first before you decide you're going the whole 1000%. I want to see everything in the entire universe route. That's what my suggestion is.
Well, and this is the thing when we talk about the levels of consciousness, because I believe that you will be met with the same level of consciousness that through the plant medicine that you approach it with. And so if you are psychically expanding or wanting to see things, perhaps everything, you better hope that you've worked on your levels of consciousness, because that is the lens you will see through and be shown through.
Mm-hmm. The problem is that a lot of people overestimate their ability to handle what they ask for. Okay? So people overestimate their ability. As an example, you go in there with a certain amount of intentionality. But did you prepare for it? Are you doing it in a safe environment? Or did you just get the plant, cook it up in your kitchen and decided, you know what, I'm just going to down this and everything will go well. This is why it's like important.
Cookie monster eating a bunch of chocolate covered mushrooms or something.
Yeah, that is why it's important to sign up for retreats like what Nicole does. Okay? It's important because you have a supportive person who is trained to handle you when you go on these.
And not only that, this is what a lot of people who were at the retreat said, like, even if they try to recreate the experience at home, they can't. And there's a reason why. And it's not because they're not able to. It's because there was literally hours and days of preparation getting your state of being and consciousness to a place that would be able to tap in to higher levels of healing and perception. And so on top of that, you also have group support, you have leadership support, you have all of these things that none of us can actually really receive on our own.
Yeah, but this, you can't replace the support you get in a retreat. One of the developments that I'm really concerned about in the last few years is the prevalence of people just buying cacao and doing ceremony with it in their house. Because it's like, it's not a big deal. It's cacao, right? But that plant has a particular kind of effect when persisted in over a long period of time. Even if you do like hot chocolate by the fire at winter, okay, which is a derivative of the same ceremony, okay, it does have effects on you. It does. Okay, you may not do it all the time, but if you do cacao in ceremony, it's a heart expansion thing. Okay? And anytime you expand anything in spirituality, it comes with effects. It's not consequences, it's effects, right? So cacao is usually not a good idea to be done on a regular basis if it is that you are in environments where heart expansion may not be indicated. Let's put it that way. Okay, and there
Okay,
are.
give an example of why it may not be indicated.
If you were in the military and they've dropped you in Afghanistan.
Okay, there's a very black and white example.
I'm giving the extreme example, first of all.
Yes.
And they dropped you in Afghanistan. And you're like, I'm just going to make my little cacao ceremony. I'm just going to like have my feathers and call in the ancestors. And I'm going to just drink it and so on. You might lose your effectiveness. You might lose your effectiveness on a battlefield, right? You might. I'm just putting it out there.
Wouldn't that be something if you go into the military nowadays and they've got daily cacao for everyone?
That would be hilarious, right?
Yeah.
I actually used to joke about this stuff, right? When we went through the Arab Spring, and I'm like, why doesn't somebody just get a C-130? That's a big aircraft, right? A huge, big aircraft. Loaded full of like weed and other mind expanding drugs, and just fly over the combat zones and just drop weed everywhere. Drop ayahuasca, drop a whole bunch of like mind expanding things. And then everybody would be like, just chilled. Like, we could kill each other today, or we could just roll up a joint. What do you want to do? So, like, right? So these are the kinds of things that I think about. So another example, which is less extreme, I just wanted to go the extreme route so that people would understand, first of all, is if you are in extremely abusive environments, and I want you guys to listen to me because there are a lot of people, when they think about all of this stuff, they say, okay, you know what? I'll just expand my heart. Sometimes that's not a good idea. It sounds like a good idea in all circumstances, but not really.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. When you are in an abusive situation or an environment, the last thing you want to do is open your heart. It's when you are not in a place that is where you're healed. It's one thing if you are a much more advanced healed person going into a situation, you know what you're walking into. And you know how to handle yourself and what to look out for. But if you are in an abusive situation where you are literally being abused,
It's not a good idea because that might destroy you in ways that you can't imagine, right? So, if you are in an abusive situation where there's a raging narcissist and probably more than one of them, especially in family situations, and you are making your cacao ceremony every day and your heart is expanded, you might, want to reconsider that because the people around you will look at your heart expansion as a threat and they will target you specifically based on that. They will find ways to damage that heart. So be
Ooh.
careful about there is spiritual awareness, which a lot of people don't teach, and there's spiritual acuity. Okay, so a lot of people tend to just do things because they think it will help them. some of the spiritual stuff was not going to help you, okay? In certain situations, you have to assess the situation that you are in and then come up with ways to do the spiritual, to look at the spirituality from this perspective. So from a lot of you come from different backgrounds. Some of y'all come from a Christian background onto this path. Some of y'all come from just a atheist perspective or whatever else. I can probably give you examples of spiritual awakening in every religion. Like if you're Buddhist, the Buddha set out on a path from privilege, right, to become the Buddha. So he put, he gave up safety and security and walked out of his castle. But what he had on board when he walked out is a idea of non-expectation. Anything can happen. And he knew this, right? For those of you who don't know the story of Buddha, he was a priest. He thought that there was more to this than this life of privilege. And he walked out of a castle to actually achieve enlightenment, okay? And on that path, there were a number of different things. But he approached everything from the perspective of, I am the soul experiencing these things, okay? So that is the path that he took, right? Jesus the Christ, in the Bible, there were many tests that he had to go through, including, you know, being tempted in the desert. One of the major tests that he had to go through is understanding the concept of consequence and being okay with it, okay? And that's not apathy. A lot of y'all tend to go the apathy route. So as an example, when he was asked by the guy, let me see, I'm sorry, my theology is actually coming back to me. So I'm going to actually give you guys the Pontius Pilate. You know that name from the Bible. He was the Roman general who asked Jesus, all you need to do is just renounce that you're the Son of God. And this is the third time this was tested on Jesus, because the second time was when he was in the desert fasting. And the Bible says, well, you could, I could give you cities and everything else if you would just join me, you know, stop what you're doing on earth. And Jesus said, yeah, nah, I'm good. And then Pontius Pilate says to him, oh, you're going to be crucified tomorrow, so if you just say that you're not the Son of God, because I don't really want to kill you or anything like that, I will just let you go. And Jesus said, I'm good. I'll take the crucifixion. That requires a level of spiritual courage when you know what the consequence is, but you're going to do it anyway. So a lot of people, and this is where the grounding that we talked about earlier comes in, a lot of people don't have the grounding in courage and neutrality like the Buddha, right? To say, I'm good. This is where I'm going. And that's all that there is, right? Whatever happens, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be.
And this is why, because when we think about the nervous system, and you're hit with situations such as this one, mm-hmm. and they will appear, maybe not as extreme, but in some cases maybe, where your nervous system will be overloaded with fear and anxiety, and can you still move through?
Function, correct. Mm-hmm. Right, and that's where the grounding comes in, and that's why when it is that I say to people, sometimes spiritual community is the best thing for a lot of people. A lot of people would like to isolate. You know what isolation brings you? Blind spots. That spiritual bypass that you talked about, because you can't see. So remote view, first of all, before if you're doing the solitary thing, or find yourself in a spiritual community where people are loving and could say to you, on my spiritual path started at 13 years old, but I was in a TM center, right? I was an angry young man, okay? I was in a TM center. And I had this, my yoga teacher, or the person who was teaching us yoga at the time, she was this little 95-pound Indian lady, right? Total mother. I mean, when you think about mother, you think about like she had like flower power everywhere. And she was the kind of person who could walk up to you, grab you, hug you, and say, "Dear, you're being a bad person now," and make you like immediately sorry. And make you immediate, you need people like that around you that are going to just walk up to you, grab you, hold you, and say to you, "Look at what you're doing, right? You're being this person right now." And then you see it because you know that that person doesn't have a bad bone in their body, okay? And they're talking to you out of love as opposed to, "You're irritating me now," that kind of thing, that kind of energy. And so I think spiritual community is important if you don't have the grounding, because in spiritual community, it is a safe place to develop. It's a safe place to develop that foundation that says, "I'm good, I'm going this way, and that's what I'm doing," because you don't know any different. I'm going to ask a question to your audience, and it's an extreme question. If your life... If your life, your physical life, was on the line right now, would you continue your spiritual practice or would you give it up and become inert, become a brick again? Some of y'all have come a little way on the spiritual practice. If your life, your physical life, was on the line, would you say, "I'm going this way"? Or would you give it up? Extreme question. But I ask you, how many of y'all have that kind of courage? You see, there's a problem.
Well, here's the thing. And this is actually coming up a lot in my Forbidden Journey Blueprint coaching program that I've got many people going through right now, where a lot of people are... I don't think people realized how quickly the healing would be activated. And when I say the healing would be activated, meaning all the things that have to come before the actual healing, before that scab actually falls off, have things that have to occur, which means your body's going to go through. And a lot of it is the nervous system is getting activated. Yeah. Fears, discomfort. And when I say discomfort, I mean extreme discomfort, anxiety, actual aches and pains, headaches, migraines, all of this stuff coming up. And of course, the first reaction, and this is completely normal, is to like, "Oh, I don't know if I can do this," you know? And it's like, "I'm not ready for this." And the answer might be, maybe, maybe you aren't ready for this, but you will face it again when you try again. And this is part of the healing journey. And it, I've been there. I mean, I was just in it a few months ago where I had to really face a huge fear of mine got triggered because I had to move through it in a way I've never been able to move through it before. And my body started to shut. I got sick. I couldn't get out of bed. And I had to literally have conversations with my body. Okay. I know what's going on. I know we're scared. I know this is uncomfortable, but we're going through this. We're going through it one way or another. If you need an extra day of rest, I'll give you a day of rest. But after that, we're going through this again. And we're going to keep moving forward until we get to the other side where we don't have to sit in the circumstance anymore. And I think there's something to be said of understanding that your body in itself is an entity of you that needs to be spoken to and understood, to be coaxed into going with you, because your spirit may be ready to go, but your body may not be ready to go with you. And that is an essential part. And this is why you have to be grounded. You have to be in your body. You have to know your body. And this is a huge part of the healing journey. And so many of us want that healing, but it really comes, obviously it'll come in different waves and different forms, and there'll be parts of the journey that aren't so bad, and there are going to be parts of the journey that are just almost literally crucifying you.
Yes.
Can you withstand it?
I've had people develop hypertension from fear, constant, unending, adrenal-laden fear when they've had to move into different spiritual perspectives. And so, absolutely, Nicole, you have to be in your body when you're doing things, because the body will sabotage you and make you feel like you can't. Okay. One of the major fears of people is the ability to be seen. Now, you're probably thinking everybody wants to be seen. That's not true. Absolutely not. If you asked half of your audience right now, would you come on my podcast? They'd be like, no. And the podcast, they're like, they'd be like, yeah, but that's something that you got over. I had to get over it. That first time you went on a podcast, you had to get over it, right? To be seen. There are going to be people who watch this podcast and disagree with everything that we say. There are going to be trolls on the internet that will attack you, right? For stupid reasons or whatever else. And being seen is a risk, as an example. So we had to get over that, right? And say, I'm still going that way. I don't care what happens. So there's a certain amount of courage that has to come with spiritual practice, as you've pointed out, and being connected with the self and grounded within the self is part of that process. Or else you're not coming on any podcast. Your body would make you faint, okay? before the podcast starts, okay? A lot of other things will happen to you. I think one the best advice that I can give people, once again, is lay the foundation first. Absolutely. Lay the foundation. Courage, the connectedness, the ability, compassion as well. That's a very important thing that people overlook. Okay? If you don't have compassion, when all the truths about yourself come forward, having compassion for the self is going to be extremely important. I'm laughing at this. Okay, I'm laughing at this. And a lot of things are funny to me now because I've been through them. And here's the other thing. What you just described is what the Reiki people call a healing crisis. Okay, they like when you learn Reiki and they tell you, you're going to go through a healing crisis. A healing crisis is all the things that get attracted to you, what it is that you start opening up, right? And then all of a sudden, everything's going wrong. I did Reiki last week and I got sick this week. I don't know what's happening to myself. Like, what's happening? It's called a healing crisis and it happens more than once. That's the other thing that they don't tell the Reiki people. People, okay, so I'll expect this once and it's fine. No. This is going to happen every time you make a step or shift. All right, so get ready for the roller coaster upwards.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, speaking of trauma, okay, mm-hmm. and healing, with the relationship between trauma and spiritual awakening, mm-hmm. okay, let's talk about how trauma can either hinder someone's spiritual awakening or catalyze someone's spiritual awakening. Mm.
So everybody is on a spiritual journey. So you just made it official when you decided to step on the spiritual journey. Okay, so everybody's on a spiritual journey. And if you didn't know you were on a spiritual journey, if you're listening to this podcast and you don't know who these two people are on your screen or within earshot, you're on a spiritual journey. And so part of being on a spiritual journey is going through these experiences, which are sometimes negative, and that would elicit a trauma response. Trauma responses, you have to, let's do the anatomy of a trauma response. It happens in the emotions, in the mind, and in the body. So, let's say something traumatic happened to you. This is before you started a spiritual journey, okay? And you went to the office of David or Nicole, and you decided, I'm going to get some counseling, some coaching for this. Okay, and you went and you got coaching and counseling. Okay, and you said, okay, my mind is okay with this now. Is your body okay? Did you do a check-in? Because your mind could be okay with things and your body said, nah, I'm not okay. I'm not okay, all right? I am not okay. And so the body has a memory of its own, okay? Treat these things like they were separate entities when you, if you want to be thorough, okay? So do a check-in on your body and say, okay, this horrible thing has happened to me. My mind is okay with it. I've reached resolution. Is my body okay with it? Because this is what happens, this blind spot, okay? What happens is that you officially step on the spiritual path. I'm doing Reiki, I'm going to do yoga, I'm running up into the Buddhist temple, crap, you know what? Let's throw the Hinduism inside there. It's going to become a Hindu whole, right? So you've decided that you're jumping into all of these practices and you're flying high all day. And then all of a sudden your body said, did you forget something or not really? Because then your body gives you a trauma shock and a trauma response when everything is going well. Everything went well, and then all of a sudden you get sick for no reason, and you can't, and here's the danger of it, you can't pinpoint why it is that you got sick. I'm happy, I've cleaned up my life, everything went well, there's no reason why I should be getting sick. You did not do the check-in back then. Your body has decided, you know what? I am tired of trying to talk to you. You're there with your spiritual cloud. I am now going to short circuit all of that shit. Okay? And now you find yourself laid up in bed and you have no idea why until it knocks you down back to that thing. It knocks you all the way back down. All that progress you did, it knocks you all the way back down. No one said that spirituality, the spiritual path is going to be fair. Okay, they just said, there's a rainbow at the end, but they never said anything about how you get there. So it knocks you all the way back down. You got to go back there and do that check-in with your body again to walk up that path again. So it's a layered response. So trauma is very, very, very tricky stuff. Okay? It's very tricky stuff. Be aware that these things happen to people. This is a real thing that happens to people. So that's number one. The second thing is, if you are on the official spiritual path and you have a traumatic experience or a traumatic event, without the foundation that we were talking about earlier on, the traumatic event, you can do what Nicole started this podcast off by asking, something called a spiritual bypass. Oh, I'm so enlightened. This thing is absolutely not going to affect me. I'm just going to just, you know, skip over it, because I mean, it's like, I'm like the Buddha, right? So like, I'm just going to like, just let it wash over me. No, 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 no. A traumatic event happens to you. Get off your spiritual high horse. Get into the feels. All the things you don't want to feel. Okay? It's messy. Okay? It doesn't matter. Like Nicole is all put together there. She just told you she had a spiritual crisis, right? And you've been on this path a long time. Okay, myself, you've been on this path a long time. And I'm telling you, you see us on the podcast, right? But here's the thing. When something happens, we are smart enough to know that we got to get into the fields. We got to get into the fields. It's going to be messy. It's going to look messy, right? Nicole might wake up and her hair looks like a crazy person, right? Like, hair's all over the place. It's not going to look pretty, right? It's like there may be tears. There may be walking, running outside and screaming. You got to get into the fields. But what you don't do is say, well, I've been at this for 20 years now, 30 years now, whatever else. I've been at this since I was 13. So I could just like, you know, that's fine. That's not an issue. No, that's arrogance. And boy, the body makes you pay for it in trauma responses after the fact. And the mind makes you pay for it in trauma responses after the fact. Don't sabotage yourself. Deal with your traumas as they happen. exactly as they happen.
You know, someone really pissed me off a couple months ago. And really just, in a way, it was a blindside. Although really, if I had been looking, like you said, if I hadn't, maybe if I had remote viewed from another angle, I wouldn't have been blindsided.
Nicole, is there something buried in your backyard you want to share with us?
Well, I mean, this is, I try to be as honest and real as possible because we all have our blind spots, right? We all have stuff that we're not going to see. This is why we have people around us to enlighten us and show us what we might be missing. This is why you need to have community. This is why you need to have good friends around you or people who will tell you the truth. And so this person, like, you know, essentially treated me pretty badly over a weekend. And I found myself having these moments every now and then, like whether I was in the shower or, and I find myself just ruminating on it, going just so angry. And I was like, oh, wow, where's this anger coming from? And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, just let it go, Nicole. Like, just let it go. And then I was like, no, I don't think I should just let it go. I think I need to feel this. Like, this is, I have a right to be angry. And I was honest with myself. I'm like, part of it is I'm angry, yes, at this person, but part of it is I'm angry at myself for allowing this person back into my life when I knew this was probably going to be another repeat issue. And there were moments where, like, there's the part of me that is more consciously evolved. Like you said, my mind, okay, was like, okay, but Nicole, like, you've done a lot of work. You're just going to let this one go. The more you focus on it, the more you're going to create it and give it life. But then I also know on a subconscious level, it's already there. I'm giving it life in the background, whether I like it or not, you know? And until I actually face it, I'm not going and feel it. It's going to continue to feed and pop up in these moments where I think I'm over it and I'm not.
So guys, I want to say something here. One of the things that I really appreciate about Nicole is that she can get off a spiritual high horse at the drop of a hat. I really appreciate you. I want to say this. I want to acknowledge a few things right now while I'm on your show. You see what Nicole just did? She doesn't care what you guys think about her being vulnerable and saying, I was pissed off, right? That is gold. Okay, so if you guys are following Nicole and so on, she is vulnerable when she needs to be. She's going to show the anger and she's going to show the stuff. The stuff that happened to you happened to me in the same time frame. Oh my God. Okay, I was pissed. And then it was not exactly the same thing, but I actually drove home one day and I'm like, I'm really pissed at a particular situation, right? And I should probably just chill. And then I'm like, no, I think I'm going to deal with this. Okay? I think I'm going to deal with this. And the reason why I chose to deal with it is because that thing that spiritual people have, there's an arrogance that comes with it that says, I'm spiritual, so I should act in a certain way. And that's folly. Okay? That's folly. If you are standing up for yourself, that you need to do. Okay? You need to stand up for yourself. There's no pretty way to stand up for yourself, especially when you're dealing with somebody who's a narcissist with a blind spot. Okay? There's no pretty way of doing it. It's going to be probably messy, right? Especially if the person is resistant to correction, as an example.
Yeah.
And so get off your spiritual high horse, deal with the confrontation that is in front of you, right? Become the Buddha or Jesus the Christ and say, that person is going to take that badly or whatever the case may be, or I'm really annoyed with that, but I am dealing with it because I don't want to hold the anger inside of myself. Okay? I want to deal with it. So, yeah, I really appreciate that you said that because a lot of people won't admit that they're pissed.
Well, You want me to admit a little more and get very honest with everyone?
Sure.
and I say this because, and you know, please tell me your perspective or opinion on it. Mm-hmm. But because I've really had to sit with this, because I think I've really allowed someone to take me for granted. And again, I hold responsibility for my part in that. I have participated in that and allowed mm-hmm. it to happen over and over again. And in all the times I've offered compassion and kindness mm-hmm. in all of my discussions with this person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've now decided that there is no room or space for this person in my life. Mm-hmm. There has been no conversation about it. There's been no discussion because there's been no contact. But I've thought about, what if this person will contact me again? Because this person tends to contact me when they need something and they're in a crisis. And I've had a very honest conversation with one of my girlfriends about a month ago about this. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I've been struggling with, what do I do? I mean, there's a part of me I could just not answer. And maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe I won't answer and I just will ghost mm-hmm. and let it be. Because that could be one of the worst things. I've never done that before. So that's a true statement. But then I thought, I do have a very bitchy side to me. And that bitchy side doesn't come out very often. But sometimes it's reserved for people who will only understand something from that place. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that some people will just never get the message when it comes from a place of kindness and compassion. It just doesn't land. Mm-hmm. And so my response would be, know that I say this from the deepest part of my soul. Go fuck yourself.
All right. So let me give you my response on that. Yes. Number one, anger is in your system for a reason. The universe and God, or whatever you call it, prime creator, wouldn't have created it if it didn't have a use. Okay? Mm-hmm. So to judge anger by itself is not a good idea, because it exists for a reason. That's the first thing I want to say. The second thing that I want to say is, when it comes to people have different language frequencies.
Yes.
And certain energetic frequencies. There are some people who are dulled to compassion. Let's be very honest with ourselves. As much as you would like to believe that, if you just speak compassionately, everybody will just get it. Mm. No!
Love and light! Love and light!
No. Not everybody's going to get the compassion talk. So I'll explain as an example. If somebody has crossed over into narcissism,
which this person has.
I kind of made an educated guess there. If somebody has crossed over into narcissism, then your compassion is your weakness. Mm-hmm. I want to repeat that for the guys in the back here, right? The peanut gallery.
Say it loud, David.
If you are dealing with somebody who has crossed over into narcissism, then your compassion is your weakness to that person. You guys hear me? So that's the first thing, because the truth of the matter is, if you're dealing with a sociopath, a psychopath, a narcissist manipulator, somebody with borderline personality disorder, your compassion, or a junkie, as in case, if you're dealing with junk, your compassion is exactly your weakness. And your compassion also is what is enabling them to continue being the way that they are. You feel me, my brothers and sisters?
Mm. And that is exactly why I've come to the conclusion that it's either going to be silence or that message.
Listen, that may be the catalyst that person, it may or may not be. But here's the thing. You have given them what they need, and I'll explain to you what they need at this particular point in time. They need somebody to say, who's within spiritual grounding to say, this is not okay. Your behavior sucks. Okay? Right? And you could say it by ghosting them, or you could just say it like, nah, you can't be part of my life. You are toxic. Okay? And that's maybe what that person needs. I have had to do that several times in my life, as of even last weekend, right? Like, I was dealing with someone with a huge blind spot, okay? The blind spot is a spiritual blind spot, especially when you're dealing with spiritual narcissists. Oh my God. Okay? So what is a spiritual narcissist? The spiritual narcissist is somebody that will cover up their narcissism with spiritual jargon. I'll give you a few examples. The light workers are very famous for this. Okay? So, I'll give you an example. You're a spiritual light worker, and you are telling everybody that you meet. Let's say somebody is grieving over their mother dying, as an example. Let me show you what a spiritual narcissist is like. Somebody's mother has just died, or died a couple days. And a spiritual narcissist floats into the room with the amethyst crystal.
I know what you're going to say.
Floats into the room with the amethyst crystal and says to the person, well, you know, your mom is in a better place, and so on. And this is a cycle of life. And the only reason why you're grieving is because you're being selfish, because you're just missing her. And there's a possibility that you brought this grief upon yourself because you're not enlightened enough. Yo. What I just told you, that actually happened. Okay? That actually happened, and that's a real story. And there are a bunch of these people walking around telling people that everything that happens to you is because of your fault. Even if that were true, who are you to tell people that when they are in grief? You are making their grief more, you're triggering the shit out of them, right? And you must expect a dread response, okay, from them. And so I was dealing with one of those who had the spiritual jargon to make their bullshit look nice.
Smell like flowers.
Okay. And so I was dealing with one of those, and like, it's like, you know, like, you don't know how other people are and stuff like that. And I believe what had happened is that when these kinds of narcissists experience any kind of upheaval or any kind of tribulation in their lives, they become particularly nasty, spiritual narcissists. Okay? They become particularly nasty. And so they try to seek out people to be mean to in a spiritual way. So funny. You know, you laugh at these things, and this is a testament to me, because I can laugh at these things now, right? So one of these spiritual narcissists did come at me like about a week ago, and I was like, you do know that I'm a psychotherapist, right? Like, I can see through your bullshit. Like, you're aware of that, right? All right? And I'm like, you're irritated because of X, Y, and Z. You have decided that you are triggered, so you're coming in my direction. But I can see through your bullshit, so that's a non-starter for you. Okay. And they were ultimately very triggered, and it derailed them off of the spiritual bullshit path, and they became a regular person, a regular narcissist with a regular thing, and they were very triggered at the fact that I was psychoanalyzing them, right? They became very, very triggered. And that's something that you guys, when you're dealing with a spiritual, is a particularly dangerous person. Yeah? So as soon as you call them out on their bullshit, you realize, oh, you're just a regular person who's an asshole. Pretending to be spiritual. Ooh.
And then let's just rip that halo off that asshole and let it shine for its all glory.
Right? And he doesn't regular person who's an asshole. And so these are the kinds of people that will not learn if you try to the compassion route. And so sometimes you may have to say, you need to stay away from me. You're extremely toxic. Mm-hmm. Do not contact me again. That doesn't stop them from trying to contact you again, Nicole. This is a disclaimer for you. All right, that person is going to try to find you again. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Be aware. All right, that person is going to try to find you again because, you know what? It's an energy. They're vampires, a lot of them. And it's an energy that they are trying to get from you. And so they will go dormant for a while. And then this is, I'm going to ask if anybody else experiences this. You notice that at Christmas and on your birthday, people that from 20 years ago that you got rid of out of your life say, hey, how are you doing? Like 20 years ago, like, why are you in my inbox? Like, why are you here? They choose these little things because they figure that your defenses have come down. So you probably need to make a little Rolodex of people that you've told to fuck off, right? And say, oh, no, you're on the Rolodex. Oh, click.
You know what you do? You either put in their name on your phone, you put a little coffin beside it, or like the death symbol.
Wow. I have never
so you don't forget.
Wow, Nicole, like a whole coffin?
Yeah, this person has the coffin beside their name.
You're
now.
Dead to me?
You've gone to the graveyard and you ain't getting resurrected.
Effective. It might be a good idea. And then the thing about it, you have an asshole inside yourself who's going to tell you something along the lines of, but you're not practicing forgiveness and compassion. They may have changed.
Yeah,
you know that asshole, right?
It's the ego that wants you to get stuck back in the pattern again, you know? But here's the thing, and this is why I will never be the person that people want, like the wholesome, spiritual goodness, kind of very politically correct. I will never be that person. Never, ever.
It.
I will always speak my mind and I will use a curse word when it is appropriate or not appropriate. And I think this is the one thing that I literally had to have this conversation with myself. I had to check in. I was like, okay, where is this coming from? Is this really coming from just triggered emotion? Or is this like a viable, like clear message that needs to be sent? And when I sat with it and I was like, no, you know what? I do have a very sharp tongue. I know how my words can hurt. I will say that because of the work that I've done, I know where people's buttons are and I know I can press them. I will do everything in my power not to do that until...
backed into a corner.
Until you make it known that that is the only way you will listen.
Correct.
And
a
trust
lot of people
me,
will not hear this.
No, and that part of me is reserved for only a select few people and
I'm dying laughing at this point.
In my life.
Yep.
And she's there for a reason. She used to come out a lot in my 20s when I was drinking, okay? Like she used to come out a lot and I had to learn how to master that part of me because that was not healthy. But she's a part of me and I will not disown her. We've come to an agreement. And I said, you will get the wheel when the wrong person shows up. Mm-hmm. And if that wrong person shows up, you can take the wheel and go for it. Because you have to understand that we all have these parts in ourselves and we cannot pretend like they don't exist and that they aren't there for a reason.
Correct. Yes, and a lot of people judge themselves. Listen, what you're describing is called spiritual integration of the different aspects of yourself. That part of yourself...
spiritual integration of your inner bitch or asshole, yes.
Correct. It's you got to integrate these aspects Because if you try to be love and light and you go out into the world, boy, you are just, listen, you know what you call a love and light is to go out into the world with their heart expanded, with the cacao ceremonies everywhere. You call them victims. That's what you call them, okay? I will be seeing you guys in my office, okay? I'll be seeing you guys about, you know how many spiritual victims that I have had in my office. I just want to, I don't understand why it's not working. Why? The more I try to expand my heart, the more I seem to be falling backwards into, you know, different kinds of situations. And I'm like, don't expand your heart anymore. I've had to help a bunch of people discover that part that you're talking about, that inner bitch. I have had to help a bunch of women find that part in my life. Okay, and where and sometimes it's not pretty because some of them have gone so far into the submissive kind of like spiritual perspective. I've had to trigger the shit out of them in practice, right? Mm-hmm. I've even had a friend of mine because she was so far in that thing. I had to trigger her myself by, I said, and I gave her the disclaimer. So I'm going to become your boyfriend now, okay? And I'm going to speak to you like your boyfriend. Okay? And I spoke to her. And then I realized she was trying to give me the... But I just wanted... Like we were role playing. Right? And I triggered the shit out of her. And she took a swing at me. And I was like, yes! Yes! There she is. There you are. You understand. You understand that I'm not going to... I'm not going to understand unless that part of you comes out. There's an acronym for bitch. You know what that is? Babe in total control of herself. That's what bitch stands for. Babe in total control of herself. Okay? And so these kinds of things are necessary because if you lose that part of yourself, well, you know, you're just waiting to be a victim. Just waiting to be a victim.
And I did go into a phase where I was like, how can he do this to me? How can he do this to me? You know, and well, I had to look at and see how I created part of the dynamic for that to happen.
And here's the thing. The thing is, the other aspect of that is don't let the babe in total control of herself take the wheel permanently. That
would be bad. No.
That would be bad. You got to take that wheel back, right? Because you're going to meet some guy who's like, somebody else who's going to try to treat you properly, and then you're going to be in bitch mode.
That's a real problem. You got to know that this is just for a very short temporary period of time because there will be innocent people on the road when the bitch has the wheel and they're going to get taken out with all things. But I think this was a really good conversation about the dark side of enlightenment because, you know, and what people might consider the dark side of enlightenment is actually the lighter side of enlightenment and they just don't even realize.
Definitely the funny side when you look at it in retrospection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a fun conversation. See? And we didn't even get into half the topics I have here on my sheet that I love.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, that just means you're going to have to come back on again.
No, I would absolutely come back on again. These conversations are conversations that people need to have, actually.
Because
it's not the usual fluff conversation. I mean, we could sit here for an hour and talk about the cosmos and all the things that are possible if you just love a little bit more. Or we could talk about, you know, babes being in total control of themselves.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, let the audience know. Maybe they want to get in touch with you. What have you got going on? And where can they find more of you?
Okay, so first of all, I run a community called the UCM community. You know that spiritual community thing that you guys are talking about? You might want to come in there. I help spiritual people who want to start businesses or improve their businesses. You can find us at community.ucm.org. universalcitizentv.com. If you join the community, we have access to free resources like contracts for your business or software for your business if you want to do that, because we don't want the spiritual community becoming marginalized online. That's the first thing. I am teaching a course for counselors and therapists, right? It's an academic qualification. It's an International Association of Counselors and Therapists course for counselors and therapists. So if you want to become a hypnotherapist or a cognitive behavioral therapist, not that I'm arming you guys to become spiritual narcissists or anything, right? You can absolutely check that out. We have payment plans available if you are on a budget. So that's basically it. Or you could just simply email me at info@universalcitizentv.com.
Love it. And I would definitely suggest for any of you out there, if you're looking for community, especially if you're looking to go into business from a spiritual perspective, I'm in David's community and his resources are very good, and you will find a lot of assistance and help there that a lot of people wouldn't tell you. So it can be very valuable. Well, David, it was such a pleasure to have you on the show. And I want to say to everyone out there, don't forget the Forbidden Journey Retreat is coming up to almost two months away. And I'd love to see you there, because...
Join it.
I will be holding space. I will be preparing to hold incredible space for all of you who wish to come for what will be a very transformative healing experience, one that I promise you will be very difficult to create on your own, because you will have incredible support. You will meet friends for lifetimes and have experiences that you will not be able to forget in a very good way. So tickets for that are in the link below this video, or if you're listening on the podcast, the links are in the show notes. Guys, I love you so much. Don't forget to be a spiritual badass when it's needed. Let your inner bitch or asshole come out when it's appropriate, but make sure to bring that back in. I love you guys, and David will definitely have you back on the show soon.
Yeah, I totally approve that message. Love being here.
we gotta do the spiritual disclaimer show.
Oh yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, definitely. All right, guys, I love you. Have an incredible night.
Thanks again for joining me for another show on the Enlighten Up podcast. I love you guys so much for all of your continued support. So remember to raise your vibe, find your tribe, and be open to the infinite possibilities held in the mysteries that surround us all. Thanks again for sharing the show with your family and friends. And if you're new to the show and you need to find out more information about me, please head on over to my website, NicoleFrolick.com, where you can join my newsletter. And please follow me on Instagram, Telegram, and YouTube. Keep your light bright, and I'll see you next week.